Our text is from this lesson, John chapter 16, verse 9, of sin, because they believe not on me. This obviously is not a usual Reformation season sort of text. When we regularly expect to hear something which zeroes in or focuses on the article on justification by faith alone. And of course, that is nothing else but a very fitting and a proper emphasis at the time of the Reformation, which this week is also to commemorate. However, it was also Luther who saw that the opposite side of the coin of that great article on justification was the article or doctrine on sin. There is no preacher who's going to succeed in preaching the gospel with all of its power if first he has not been able with the law to show that sinner, that he may show the sinner his sin, that he may indeed know his depravity and his unrighteousness. Following after Luther, Walter also points out how the gospel by itself is an abhorrent thing, repugnant to man, unsavory, unwelcome, until and unless the sinner has been crushed by the law as regards his own pretension of, or his own opinion of righteousness. It was Luther's greatest, or one of his great contributions, along, therefore, with his emphasis on sola gratia, sola fide, that he was able to articulate so well the true nature and gravity of sin. In other words, and on the basis of this text, the Holy Spirit's great work through the words of his apostles is to convince or convict the world of sin because they did not believe in me, and then urge through the gospel that they place their trust in their Savior. The world has always shown its hostility against this kind of preaching. It finds preaching against sin offensive and intolerable, thinking of it as creating disorder and discord among people that leads to disobedience, to rebellion, to opposition. In a way, this seems very strange that the world should react this way. Does not the world itself react against things like murder or theft or hijacking or wickedness wherever it finds it, especially in high places, against Watergate, Korean bribery, and so on? But, says Luther, this is a different situation. Christ is not speaking of the sins which the world itself recognizes and punishes. The Holy Spirit is not convicting of these sins, but of this one, because they do not believe in me. For whoever heard, Luther will ask, that unbelief in this Christ is the sin which the whole world condemns. The world doesn't condemn that. In fact, it lives with it, and it glories in its rejection of Christ. Most people lead a kind of a life which makes it impossible to reproach them generally or to find fault with them. They're pretty decent and they're pretty honorable, as we generally know the man of this world. But the sin for which all men across the board, are reproved by the Holy Ghost, different from the public sins which the world recognizes and not recognized by the world, is this one, because they do not believe in me. The wickedness of unbelief is precisely this, that it makes of God a liar as regards his very promises unto men, and thus is involved in a sheer and utter blasphemy against God. That it in reality displaces God with itself, with man himself as his own Savior, and thus with a base and an unabashed sort of idolatry. And that even believers are not free from this virus which runs so deep through the system, as they conceive of their piety, their devotions, their inner wrestlings, their vows, their liturgies, their genuflections, you name it, as in some way making the grace of God more real to me. The wickedness of unbelief is that it stops a man in his tracks. This man who is so calloused by his sin, who is refusing to take God at his word, like the fearful hiker along the High Line Trail or in the mountain trail, stymied or for the moment stopped by the raging torrent, the path leading across a pretty solid raw log, but he simply refusing to put one foot ahead of the other and go across, literally immobilized by his fear. That's how Luther found Melanchthon at the time of the Augsburg Confession. On June 27th, he wrote to Melanchthon. That was 2 days after the document was presented. On June 25th, he wrote to Melanchthon, "From the bottom of my heart, I hate all your sky-high worries, which, as you say, are taking the very heart out of you. It is not the magnitude of our cause, but the magnitude of our unbelief, which is at fault. Is not he who has begun the good work greater than the work itself? If the cause is not a righteous one, then let us repudiate it. But if it is, why make God a liar by not believing his great promise?" This sin of unbelief is the only sin reproved in the same way across the scriptures, in everybody. The sin of the whole world by nature, which leaves him without hope, without help, without a savior in this world, Jew or Gentile, you name it. He's as an unclean thing, and he comes short of the glory of God. It was the first sin in paradise already, and I dare say, says Luther, it'll be the last one of all the sins. In its train, of course, following all kinds of others, violating of all the commandments of God, the fountainhead from which all the other little rivulets flow. And yet, in comparison, these are but peccadilloes with the root sin by which each man becomes the object, the just object of God's just wrath, his unbelief. But here in the text, not only the unbelief implanted in human nature from the beginning, from Adam's fall on, is judged, but specifically and above all, the refusal to believe in Christ, whom God has sent to do away with sin and to bring forgiveness. For when Christ appeared, his suffering and his death availed for the doing away of sin, with the sin of Adam and with the sin of the whole human race, with unbelief and disobedience. And he created for us a new heaven of grace and forgiveness. The woman's seed he has crushed. And now there is no condemnation, the apostle writes, for them which are in Christ Jesus. The second Adam, Christ, has effected a whole changed situation and brought righteousness and pardon and peace and justification. And this we must not doubt, but we must believe. Now Luther says these two things seem quite contrary then in the Christian's life. The Christian is righteous and beloved of God, and yet a sinner and under the wrath of God. In explanation, he says, let us look at it. God cannot deny his nature. That is, he must indeed needs hate sin and sinners. Repeat it. He must needs hate sin and sinners. Otherwise, he would be condoning unrighteousness and loving sin. Well, then, how can these two contradictories stand, at least as man sees them? I am a sinner and worthy of condemnation, and yet the Father loveth me. And hear the heroic words of Luther, here nothing cometh between, but only Christ the mediator. Nothing cometh between here, only Christ the mediator. In brief, the sentence then that closes or denies heaven to a man is to reject him whom God has sent to refuse him, to refuse to repent and believe. Heaven has been opened by God, and faith which trusts in God's promises has also the fulfillment of those promises in Christ, that there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Indeed and in truth, the Luther's searching question, which was prompted by his own recognition of his own sin and also of the knowledge of his Savior, wie bekomme ich einen gnädigen Gott, how do I know that God is gracious unto me, a sinner? Here nothing cometh in between, but only Christ the mediator. O sinner, believe and cling to him all your life. In Jesus' name, amen.